Welcome to the Penny Mart House. I'm Jade.
Hello, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christopher.
And this week, we're once again gravitating towards Scotland, strangely enough.
There's a lot of freaks in Scotland.
Can't get enough of it
recently. This week we're doing Loch Ness, a full episode.
You asked for it, you got it.
The return of the monster.
I wouldn't fucking touch it with a shitty stick.
There's been a recent sighting.
Oh God, no.
In the press just this week.
There's been a video. No one cares. No one cares.
Come on, you monster hunters. Get in contact with us.
We're doing...
another bobbin log.
Dennis Nielsen.
Very, very happy to be covering Dennis.
The name is well known in Britain, but he's not a Hindley. You know, he's not a Gacy. He's a good serial killer, but not perhaps as well known as he should be.
I think he's
not got the credit that he deserves.
No, he really hasn't.
That's because his serial killing image mirrors his image in his personal life.
He's just
a quiet, average kind of guy.
You could say that.
Nothing to shout about. Doesn't want to make a big fuss. Just, you know.
I don't know. He's a bit... When you see him in his interviews and everything,
he's a bit of a diva.
Once
they get him wound up a bit.
I suppose that's what fame does to you.
It's all gone to his head.
He's often described as being a British Jeffrey Dahmer.
Which is...
But what do we think?
He's better than Dahmer.
Bullshit. Yeah. I love Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer is great. This guy... I think blows him out of the water.
Better, for sure. I mean, it's uncanny to refer the links between
the two.
Mm. I mean,
even the timing.
The timing, both first kill for both of them, 1978.
That's a bit weird.
You'd have to say that he's no Fred West, is he?
No.
He's a handsome. I think he's quite a handsome.
He's not bad looking. If you got rid of those old glasses and, you know...
Well, that's his mugshot, so that's
he looks a bit of a nerd there, but I think he could be a bit trendy if he wanted to be.
Well, he's tall, he's quite well built, he's got nice cheekbones.
Yeah, he's got a good structure.
I'd have a go. Mm. You know, if I was to see him down
Canal Street... And he'd probably let you.
Well, I'm a big guy, so I'd keep him at arm's length.
Mm. Those who don't know about Dahmer... Dahmer, basically.
You bloody well should if you're listening to this. Go and do your research.
Dahmer was in the army for a short time.
Yeah.
He liked young boys.
Yeah. He liked to kill
of Oriental, of Asian persuasion. Asian boys he liked. Young Asian boys.
He liked to kill them and fuck them and chop them up and wank on them. Kind of what Dennis did.
So I think this guy's... better than Jeffrey Dahmer, but well, you can decide that as we.
And another link between the two is that a couple got away, and the police did nothing.
That is another link.
The police did nothing.
Yeah, they got away, and Dennis didn't even sort of like make any attempt.
No. He's a cool cat. That's why.
Well, no, when
the police come knocking, he's like, what? I don't know.
He is a cool cat.
Yeah,
Dennis is a very cool cat. Anybody. You know, after watching this, listening to this, check out some of the videos, the interviews and stuff. He is a very cool, collective customer.
Oh, and you'll be happy to know, listener, that I am back in the studio.
Hooray!
Yay!
Still vaguely ill. Can only apologise for the last episode.
Well, you were a bit phlegmy.
No, I meant for the quality in general.
All right. No, I thought that although the facts were slim,
we hope you had a good time anyway.
We made the most of a bad situation.
The padding was excellently funny.
Yeah.
So that made up for it. That's what I think anyway.
Right, should we get into it?
Well, I just thought before we get into it, just in the news this week is Kim Kardashian's enormous arse. And I think...
Is that horror news? I suppose it is.
I find it horrifying news. I just thought I'd mention it.
It is a humongous...
Shall I put my drawing up of her later?
I can't get over the size of the bloody thing.
She looks absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I'm
we're
not...
In that picture.
I'm not a follower of, like, Eat magazine or anything like that, but you can't get away from this massive arse. Every time you log on to the internet, the picture of her arse pops up.
You're talking about it now.
No, no, because I want to know how she gets the paper in between them cheeks. She must have skids up that big butt.
Rich people have beaters.
She must have big skids up the middle of that crack. There's no way she can get that clean.
You do. It'd be difficult on the reach around, wouldn't it?
I think she needs a.
Maybe she's got
rag on a stick.
A rag. I was just going to say a poo stick. Kim Kardashian poo stick.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right, can we start?
We'll let that go now.
Oh, I went a bit spitty then. Sorry.
Oh, Dennis.
Let's start.
Dennis
Nielsen.
I think, of you know, like serial killers, they have like Jack the Ripper. Or, you know, the Boston Strangler. You know, they have scurry nicknames.
Yeah, you know,
they really like...
The press usually.
Up,
yeah,
like
the press usually get in there with the Black Panther, yeah. The Boston Strangler.
Dennis, nickname, the kindly killer.
The kindly killer.
The kind of guy who
because
you want to kill.
Some
you.
People are so cool, they don't need to add a stupid,
yeah, exactly.
Scary nickname.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to rip.
Yeah, he's a kindly killer. And he picked up the nickname, the kindly killer, because... He killed people in what he thought was the most humane way possible, which is strangulation and drowning.
And I think as example, I think this is a nice place to introduce Carl Stotter.
Oh, Carl.
Before we get into Dennis Nielsen, I think to prove
just how lovely,
how kind, how gentle he was, we can hear from Carl Stotter, who, well, he met Dennis Nielsen in a London bar, and
got to know him.
This is what happened when he went back to his place.
He took me back to his place. He was a nice guy. He didn't have murderer tattooed across his face or anything like that. He was nice. And I slept with him.
And I slept with him.
If anyone's ever seen Saxondale, he's just like Keanu Reeves on Saxondale. Or a bit like Snape from Harry Potter as well.
Oh, he does. He looks a bit like Snape.
Yeah,
during the course of the research for Dennis, I've been watching documentaries through time. And Carl Stotter...
Does he appear in all of them?
He is cashed in massively. The first one in 1983, he's like quite slim and, you know, he's got like a proper camp, short, bleach blonde hairdo.
Well, then, can't imagine him as a blonde.
And then in the next one, he's like a bit older. And then in that one, you know, he's like fat with a massive wig and a bit of that.
And I slept with him.
Yeah, I could see him being a bit, he's told his story many times, old Carl.
He was thinking, the one I saw, you're like, I don't know if Dennis Nielsen killed me or saved my life. Oh, fuck off. Get over it.
But we'll get into Carl Stotter later, I think.
Where does it all begin? Well, back in 1945, and Dennis Andrew Nielsen is born on the 23rd of November in Fraserburgh in Aberdeenshire.
Small
and
fishing
he's
village.
He's the middle child born to Elizabeth.
Always difficult.
And Olav. So his
Olav.
Dad. Yeah, his dad.
Well, because his dad's Norwegian, isn't he?
He's Norwegian. He's a Norwegian soldier who travelled to Scotland in 1940 with the Free Norwegian Forces to battle against Nazis in Norway.
Oh, he's
how
right,
was he
then,
going to battle against Nazis in Norway by running to?
Because
Scotland.
They moved to Scotland to set up a base. Norway was occupied by the naughty Nazis.
But not such a good man, because apparently he was a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, so Dennis's mum and dad got married in 1942, and they moved into the parents' house of Elizabeth's in Scotland. And the marriage was full of difficulties. Olav was a complete pisshead, didn't really like his wife. Spent all his time away with the army. You know, he made little attempt to find a home.
Yeah, he didn't really bond with the kids, did he, at all?
You know, I think, you know, he obviously liked banging her, because they made three kids. But other than that, there wasn't much love between the two. And Dennis's mum, Elizabeth, is quoted as saying that she'd rushed into the marriage really without thinking. And the couple divorced in 1948.
And he just did one, didn't he?
Yeah,
never to be seen again. Went back to Norway.
So is he dead or alive now? Dead, I'm assuming.
Dennis's dad, dead, I'm assuming. I don't know.
But Dennis never had a relationship
with him. No, he never had a relationship.
Well, not that I know of, but his dad did. No, his dad is dead because his dad left him £1,000.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we'll get to that later. That's good of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I think it definitely affected him.
Yes.
His dad does one when he's four. Is he four or five?
Something like that.
But apparently he was very... Well, he's a loner as a child, and his mum's quoted as saying that she couldn't actually cuddle him. He wasn't interested in physical...
I think there was only really affection. One person who, yeah. he was particularly interested in.
And that's his granddad.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just lazy parenting on behalf of the mother. Well, because yeah. You're not telling me there's a little kid who doesn't like to have a cuddle off the mum.
I don't know. Have you never seen We Need to Talk About Kevin?
Yeah, but is that a true story?
Well, I'm sure there are mad teens and children.
No, but when you're 4 and 5.
Not if you're a psycho.
Well, I don't know, maybe. But, he had a very close relationship with his granddad.
Andrew, is it? Andrew White?
I don't know.
Yeah, Andrew White.
I guess it's he sort of filled the father figure role.
Yeah. The only thing I found with his granddad, though, is, like, obviously all this information comes from Dennis himself. Because, I mean, let's not be that since his arrest, he's not shied away from the limelight, has he?
No.
You know, he's had camera crews in his cell and all sorts. And he's quite articulate, really, when he speaks.
He reminds me a bit of Ian Brady.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like being a bit too verbose.
Yeah, and a bit flamboyant around killing people. I suppose it's... He's a but so the things that I thought about his granddad, because he says that the best times of his life were those few years with his granddad.
Yeah.
But he says that he used to walk for hours with him. They'd go walking for hours, but he was 5.
Yeah, we put him on his shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, drag him along in a little cart or something.
But still, I can't remember my relationships in that detail.
Listen,
when I was 5.
It's Scotland, it's fucking Aberdeenshire, it's 1950, there's fucking no telly, there's no food, there's still rationing, it's a shit place to live, there's no fucking PlayStations.
Well,
it's
maybe.
Go for a walk with Grandad or sit in the coal shed.
Yeah.
You know,
I suppose.
There's not a lot going on.
But I can't remember much of when I was 5. And he goes into so much detail, I think he has to make it interesting. Yeah.
Definitely. I think that's the perfect word. He wants to build this story about himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I was a loner child who would take long walks with granddad. I never fit in with people.
I didn't fit in with all the other kids.
Even though, you didn't watch the interview with the mother, did you?
No.
His mother does an interview and she says that he always, he was a nice boy. And, you know, like the children who didn't have friends, he'd sort of try and include them and stuff. But I don't know how much of that is bullshit, you know, because she's obviously trying to say, he's not that bad.
Yeah. Forget all the bodies under the floorboards.
Yeah.
He used to share in playground.
Yeah. Well, I guess if it might be truth or it might be a fantasy, but I think the defining moment of his childhood is when his granddad, who... is a fisherman, is out away at sea, and I think he has a heart attack while he's away at sea.
Mm.
And obviously they bring the body back.
This is fucked up, this.
Hey, really?
This is, I think, now you're going to, I think this is this is what
this is when the
switch
is, yeah, exactly.
So you get his mum, he's dead excited because his mum says that his granddad's coming back.
Yeah,
so
I've missed you so much.
He's been
granddad.
Away, you know, because these fishermen, they're away for like weeks at a time, you know, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So he's so excited. He's, granddad's coming back. Can't wait. I wonder if he's got me a packet of fishermen's friends. You know, he's really excited. And then
bag of cockles.
So he's waiting in the house, and his mum says to him, Dennis, granddad's here. He's in the kitchen.
I hope she did say it with that enthusiasm. Come on, Dennis, granddad's here.
And Dennis, oh yeah, granddad.
Ran in with a bag of Werther's.
Opens the door, and his granddad's dead, laid out in a coffin on the kitchen table.
That is fucked up. Like, why would you do that?
Why would you not?
Sit him down, Dennis. Sorry,
yeah, this is a 4 or 5 year old little boy.
I think he's 6 now. He's
6.
5/6.
Oh, he's fucking old enough. he can handle this.
Life's cruel.
sit him down. Listen, granddad's gone to heaven.
Yeah, he's gone to a better place.
No.
Ta-da!
Granddad's home! Hooray! Oh no, he's very still, isn't he?
I just imagine resident family jumping up from behind. Surprise!
Granddad, can we go for a walk? Oh, he's very sleepy.
But 5-6 year old, never seen a dead body before, probably didn't understand the concept of somebody dying and the process afterwards. Even though he was in this coffin, they just told him that he was asleep.
Yeah, it was all fucked up.
So, he's quoted to say it was only months and months later, like several months later when Grandad wasn't around, that he realised that
he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, and so, I think a lot of
so
the...
they've done the big reveal, but then still not told him what's going on.
Fucking
a bit like they just needed what's that home show?
Oh, move that bus!
when they do your house up.
Oh, like the big reveal. I don't know. What's it?
Yeah, all it needed were just Nick Knowles behind him with his eyes. Time for the big reveal!
Hey!
A lot of painters stuck behind.
So clapping.
Carpenter just finishing coffin off. brushing up shavings.
He should have got a puppeteer with his hand in back of head. Look, granddad's working up.
Oh god.
Yeah, I think that probably
so this
messed
is,
him up.
This has been quoted by various criminologists and biographers as being the moment where Dennis fuses love and death as being one and the same thing.
Yeah.
You know. And whether or not that's true or that's bullshit.
Yeah. This is where love and death kind of overlapped in his mind.
Yeah.
And then I think we'll go into his fascination then later on with dead bodies.
Yeah.
Like, not just people being dead in general, but the appearance of dead bodies. As he gets older, he has a fixation.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Well, he does himself up as a dead bodies and takes photographs of himself, but we'll get into that.
I think an unusual point to make about Dennis is he doesn't conform to the triad, the psychopath triad.
He doesn't piss the bed.
So far as we know, wet the bed. He doesn't have any known cruelty to animals.
No, he loves animals. He used to keep
dog,
pigeons.
He did, didn't he?
Keep
yeah.
Pigeons,
like
and one day someone killed all his pigeons.
Oh, Lizzie Bordenling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there we go. And Kes again.
And Kes. Fucking Andrew. And he doesn't set fire to things either. So he's quite unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think then, you know, it's his mum says that after his granddad's died, or after someone has the decency to tell him that his granddad's dead, he becomes quieter and more
withdrawn. I think he becomes a lot more insular from that point.
He goes and stands on the harbour and watches the herring boats.
That was a quote, like, he was saying that I have a real passion for the sea. I used to spend hours walking on the shore. So it seems like he has this passion for the sea. But he can't actually be arsed going out here. He just stands on beach.
Yeah, he just has a look at it. Although it's quite interesting that, sort of 5 years after his granddad had passed away.
Oh, just as another little point to one of our, another connection. His granddad died on Halloween.
Oh, very good. Shoehorn that one in there. when, yeah, what was up to? Oh, that was it. About 5 years after his granddad had died, Dennis goes on one of his trips to the beach and he goes into the water.
Finally.
About bloody time, Dennis.
He gets submerged and he starts like drowning and he can't swim and he's, you know, struggling for air. And he would have died other than another kid dragged him out.
Four dolphins came.
But he says
he rode him to shore.
He says it must have been age 10 that happens. He said as he was drowning, he experienced tranquility, you know, a sense of calmness came over him. So
did he see the light?
Well, I don't know, but he's a bit strange.
So death was like an escape for him.
Yeah. So the other thing to mention now, sort of as he's getting 10, 11, he's always felt like he's been a bit different. And as he starts to get his short and curlies and his testicles become full and round and drop out of his stomach, he finds out that he's actually into boys.
Yeah.
And not girls, which must be very difficult.
Into high school and stuff.
Yeah.
I think even today it would be difficult.
Yeah. Secondary school.
You know,
you don't really have people who are out in high school.
No.
Even now.
He's like, his mum is devoutly Catholic.
Yeah. Well, his mum remarries.
Yeah.
And I think the guy who she marries is a strict Catholic.
Yeah.
And I think that then becomes... it's them within the household.
Yeah.
So he's not really got anywhere to go because he's a gayer and he's in rural Scotland. And
gay in the village.
You're not popping to Canal Street.
Yeah,
are you?
You know, you're not going down to Clone Zone to pick up your butt plugs and your lube.
No.
Your edible panties.
He's a bit frustrated and he's ashamed and confused. Yeah. So.
And he takes a shine to the minister's son.
Yeah. But what do you do if you've got these confusions, these strange feelings? You sexually fondle your little sister to try and cure yourself.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that.
No, because he's...
Incest is best.
Yes.
All our episodes are the same, aren't they? I've just realised...
Because he, in his young mind, because he's different and he's worried, he's trying to find a cure, you know, to make himself
normal. Yeah, he doesn't
understand
why. Yeah.
He wants to be normal, so he has a go on his sister. It's just a fondle. He doesn't get the cock in, but he's he doesn't find any satisfaction in that, and so.
God loves a tryer.
What are you going to do? You know.
Well, he tried, didn't he?
Yeah, he did try.
But then he takes a fancy to the minister's son, young son, I think, from that point. Apparently, I think the realisation of that he likes boys more than girls at this point. And he has a real, he's infatuated by the minister's young son. But when it's as young, I think you know, he's like 14, 13 at the time, and this young boy's like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So
it's still wrong. It's messed up.
So the other thing to think, though, well, is if you fondled your little sister and it's not cured you for your gayness, what should you do? You should caress and fondle your older brother while he's asleep.
Really?
Oh, so, yeah. He had a go on Olaf Jr.
Ah.
And as a result of that... I think
did Olaf know?
His older brother knew what had happened. He starts calling him
gayer.
A bit of a... Well, he refers to him
you
as...
You look like a big poof!
As a girl in public, you know, and then that sort of like starts dragging Dennis down even more.
Dents
his
confidence with it.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Dennis.
Poor Dennis. But, you know...
Well, I'm sure there's many young men gone through it, finding his way in life, trying to... understand his erections.
One up the bum, no harm done.
Exactly.
If only we'd been a bit more liberal and progressive.
Yeah.
Maybe none of this would have happened.
No. But then look at Fred.
Fred was very liberal. Very liberal and progressive.
Yeah, you're right.
I think, you know, if people want to murder and shag, they're always going to do it. No.
So Dennis now, what, 13, 14, while he's going through these?
It's a different time. Do you know why it's a different time? Because at the age of 14, he...
So what year is this?
Oh, he was 14 in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens after that? Well, Dennis, he finishes school.
Doesn't do that well, does he?
He does all right.
Mediocre.
Yeah, he's not great.
He doesn't excel.
He's not thick, but...
Yeah, he's no Rose, but he's...
he's no Rose.
So when he... Yeah, he's not a fucking Remmer. when he finishes school, he gets a job working in a factory while he thinks about...
What kind of factory? Tell me it's a chocolate factory.
Oh, yes, please.
It's a food factory.
Is it?
Close enough. Close enough.
It's a canning factory. And he's thinking, what should I do with my life? And to give him credit, Dennis, like our friend, Fred West, he wants to expand his horizons. Yeah. He wants to get away from where he's brought up. So he joins the army. Because he wants to leave the small town life.
Very respectful.
Yeah. And he does quite well in the army. So.
Well, I think he finally enjoys... I think he relates and enjoys the army life, I think. I think he likes the...
The routine.
Routine and the...
Do you know what's like a really mental thing, though? He joins the army when he's aged... 15 going on 16.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fucking frightening. I can't speak. That is just fucking frightening.
Yeah.
To join the army at such a young age. And I wonder how many rigorous bombings he was given. He does describe his army years as being some of the happiest of his life.
What's his regiment?
Catering corp.
Well, he joins, to train as a caterer.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
He trains as a chef.
He does.
Okay.
Which is where they where he learned his chopping skills.
Ah.
Butchery skills.
Again, a bit like Fred, in the abattoir.
His butchery skills would come in very handy in later life. So I think he gets stationed at Aldershot for his training. And this is where he has to keep his sexuality well hidden, because obviously homosexuality in the army in the 1960s.
A lot of his fellow soldiers think he's a bit weird, I think. Because he's a bit of a drama queen. So I think he kind of likes the separation.
Yeah, like being different.
He doesn't, because they were saying like they'd have Paul Mags around and stuff, and they'd all be reading like imaginary equivalent of
Parade.
Like Heat and not Heat.
Razzle.
What are the lads' mags?
Razzle.
Nuts. Zoo and all that.
Oh, no, I'd be reading...
The more hardcore.
I'd be reading Razzle.
Maybe them readers' wives and stuff like that.
Oh, I used to love readers' wives.
Apparently, he was like, he'd read the broadsheets and while they were all getting into the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and stuff.
Oh, he's a bit of a square.
He was into his classical.
Yeah, he liked classical music. And he'd sit in the corner. Music.
He liked to divide him. I know, but even to be getting the broadsheets out when all the blokes are around you.
I don't imagine it's a very intellectual atmosphere in the barracks.
So he's separate. He's trying to separate himself in that way.
I bet he deliberately lost Sticky Biscuit. I have to eat a cum covered biscuit.
People know what Sticky Biscuit is.
Most boys have heard of Sticky Biscuit.
Basically, if you.
You get a ganglia.
You get a ganglia.
You get a digestive.
Yeah, or a custard cream if you...
And then I think it goes better with a digestive.
It's salt in there.
Salt and sweet.
You'll have a race. Like put it in the middle, get in a circle.
You all spunk on the biscuit and the last person to ejaculate...
Has to eat the biscuit.
Delicious.
There you go,
English
listener.
Tradition.
It's like an English cheesecake.
Cake.
I think while he's in the army, he's also got a lot of fears. So like he doesn't shower, he doesn't go in communal showers because he's afraid he might get a stiffy.
Yeah.
He likes to bathe alone. Then he can have a wank over his
self.
I was going to say colleagues, but they're not colleagues in the army.
His fellow soldiers.
Yeah.
Over the privates.
Yeah. Over them 3 years, I think his personality starts to come out now. Cause he's very contrary and argumentative.
Well, he's thinking, isn't he? He's away from his controlling mother and stepdad. He can let himself go.
Hello!
To a point. So he passes, he becomes an official army kooker. And
no, I mean, to be fair, you don't have to be Mitchell and staff at being army cook, do you?
You're a lieutenant, you're a captain, you're a kooker.
Yes, kook, sir.
It's not really setting your sight. You know, if you're going to join the army, you want to be like...
He's done exactly that.
I want to be field commander.
You want to be fucking driving tanks
and I want to be Kitchener too.
Listen, you're fucking stirring a stew.
Listen, it's 10 years.
Oh shit, we have listeners in the armed forces. We should be careful.
It's 10 years after the end of World War II, right? He wants to travel. Doesn't want to fucking get shot.
So hiding behind his pinny.
Joining the fucking cookery corps.
Fuck you, Dennis.
Fuck off. Well done, Dennis. Join the cook. Oh, bit.
If we all had that attitude, we'd have a fucking army of fucking chefs and brusher-uppers.
Potato
charge. And a fucking whisk.
No, he done well there. So he gets to travel and he doesn't have to get shot.
Well, it's older shot.
No, because in the summer of 1964, off to Germany.
Was he a mod? Or was he a rocker?
He's classical and broadsheet. He was a poof.
He was a fruit. A fruit picker. That's what... is it John Wayne Gacy's dad used to call him?
A fruit picker,
A fruit picker.
I thought that sounded... Yeah.
He's a fruit picker. So, yeah, he goes off to Germany with the Royal Fusiliers. And he's stationed in
Dusseldorf.
No, Osnabrück.
Munich.
And our army friend who was also stationed in Germany might have been Osnabrück. I think that's
who cannot
big
be
base.
Named for security reasons.
For security reasons.
Hello, friend.
At ease, boy.
Oh, can we talk about Man Love Tuesdays or will we get in trouble?
It's Man Love Tuesday.
Or was it Thursdays?
It was Thursdays.
Man Love Thursdays.
I don't think we should mention Man Love Thursdays.
Nothing happens weird in the army. Everything's normal.
Yeah. Correct. So,
which is why Dennis loved it.
But this is where, once he gets into Germany, where the boozing really fucking kicks off.
Yeah, another Dharma link again. Love the booze.
You know, my granddad was in German, stationed in Germany in the 50s. I wonder if...
Hey! So he really, really gets on the booze, and Nielsen himself describes his time in Germany as being really nice and fun, and they were hard working but a boozy lot.
Yeah,
and they would drink themselves into an absolute stupor, and this is where one of his first sort of experiences happen.
Sexual experience.
Well, it's not sexual, although it kind of is a little bit. Dennis finds himself in the company of a young German.
Especially for the occasion.
Chris is just drinking some of the gayest wine I've ever seen. If you can hear that pouring noise.
You photograph that.
It's called I Love Rosie.
Photograph that and put it on Facebook because that is brilliant.
Remember to like us to Penny Morthouse on Facebook.
Kiss Chris and his masculine wine.
Especially geared up for
the
Dennis Nielsen.
Gayest episode.
Once again, hello gay listeners. We appreciate everything
you
bring.
All.
We love gays. We love gay. We love everybody.
We love too many people.
No, we're just nice. Yeah. Just because you make jokes doesn't mean you're a bad person.
If you have to stress the point, it's always true.
Yeah.
No, but it's you. It's you with your bloody bringing stuff up all the time. Oh, Jade's alarms are going off. Anyway, so moving on. Yes,
he's doing some bumming now, isn't he?
No, he's not bumming.
He's not bumming?
He's not bumming
yet. Bit of wanking.
Well, he's wanking himself stupid.
No, but, I mean, from...
No, well, if you let me finish the bloody sentence I started 5 minutes ago.
He's just sitting on his hand.
Paul, what's happening?
I'll tell you what's happening.
He's shagging.
He gets really pissed with a young German, and Dennis wakes up and he finds himself on the floor in the German lad's flat.
Oh, yeah.
No sex happened.
Do we have a name?
No.
Can we give him a name?
Where's it?
Franz.
Her Franz.
He wakes up in Franz's flat, and this is like massive for Dennis because Franz is still passed out from the booze, and he loves it. And this is where his fantasies start to.
What he loves it that he's woke up in somebody else's.
Yeah,
flat.
And that they're asleep, passed out, submissive.
And he has control.
And he has control of the situation, though nothing happens.
Does he have a pull on his planker?
No. That's all that happens. But that is a key moment.
Yeah. It's usually exciting. Yeah.
Dennis's life. Well, it's the control, isn't it? I mean, you know, if it were me, I'd just be cracking one off over his face or banging my dick on a wardrobe or something, you know. But
finding a hollowed out melon.
That's not how Dennis works.
He's a slow mover. He doesn't need to rush.
Yeah.
He's got all the time in the world.
We've got all the time.
Yeah, and it's also during these boozy times where...
How old is he? Is he old enough to drink?
Yeah, it's 1964, 65, 66 now, so he would be...
He's in his 20s, isn't he?
20, 21.
Yeah.
So when's he first... Well, I want to know when he's at it.
Well, just...
Come on!
You can't rush.
You can't blame him for being desperate to know. It's
a
exciting.
Good story. Yeah. No, one of Dennis's tricks that he tries to get some sexual stuff going.
He does a sausage stew and lies on the table with his cock. Is that one of his tricks?
That's one of them. The other one is he pretends.
For hot dogs they used to play.
He pretends to be really pissed, so he'll have a few drinks, but then he pretends to be really pissed and passed out, in the hope that some of his army buddies might interfere with him. But nothing ever happens. So
he's hoping to be raped.
Yeah, in effect, he is.
Weird.
Well, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Good job all those men were very honourable.
Yeah. So well after done. After a couple of years in Germany, he gets redeployed. And he goes to Norway.
Oh, to his
for
homeland.
A little while, to his father's homeland. And then he gets deployed. He wishes he were getting ploughed. He gets deployed to South Yemen.
Oh, fancy. This is when he gets it.
This is when he starts to get.
They love it in Yemen. Action. They love it in Yemen.
Yeah, so off to Yemen he goes.
Spunk everywhere in Yemen.
Did you know?
The floors, the walls, the ceilings, everywhere.
It was thingy Yemen. It was.
You have to walk around with visors.
It was risky in Yemen, and quite a few of the what's it called when you're all together, a regiment.
Mm-hmm.
They lose quite a few men in ambushes, so you know it's a real danger zone.
All right, okay.
And Dennis himself gets kidnapped whilst serving in Yemen. He's beaten unconscious and thrown in the boot of a car.
Probably love it
by an Arab taxi driver.
He's like, Frank,
and I think he doesn't...
Buy an Arab what?
Taxi driver.
Call yourself a soldier? That's why you're in the fucking cop corp.
He might have been taxi driver / freedom fighter.
Busy, mate.
What time are you on till
tonight? Fuck off! Get him boot.
Well, he's not that much of a pussy because whilst he's in the boot, he gets the handle for the wheel nuts.
Yes.
Or the metal,
the tyre iron.
And when the taxi driver opens the boot,
fuck off.
He beats him unconscious.
Nice. That's like a Quentin Tarantino film.
Yeah.
And then he locks the man in the boot of the taxi.
Yes.
And fucks off back to his army barracks. So that Arab might still be in that boot. So, he quite likes it in Aden, apart from that. He's got a private room so he can wank his head off. And it's weird, right? He's very happy because in his room he's got a mirror a full length mirror. And he can position the mirror such that he can watch himself wanking without seeing his own head.
Yeah, because I imagine if you saw your face, it'd be quite off-putting.
Yeah.
So he sets this sort of rig up so he can wank and look in the mirror.
Pretend it's somebody else
who's wanking. So, you know, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's not standard.
He used to cover his bottom half in chocolate sauce.
So then...
Make yourself look brown.
So he really loves his wanking fantasies.
His wanking games.
You know, he does. And I think one of the things that he does while he's doing his wanking games as well is he sees himself sometimes as being the aggressor and the powerful person.
Mm-hmm.
And other times he plays the passive person, you know.
How aggressive is wanking?
So these, like, you know, these, as we'll come to see in his later life, there's like this aggression and this control element to him. And there's this passive and, you know, calm element to him.
There's two distinct parts to his personality. Yeah.
Well, he starts a couple of relationships while he's in the Middle East.
All right.
Apparently, he has quite a relationship going with a Bavarian prostitute.
Oh, why have you got a letter of Bavarian?
I don't know. I have no idea, but there is a Bavarian prostitute.
Does he have ladyboards and all?
Yeah.
So, an umpire.
Oh, maybe was that not in Germany then?
It'd make more sense, wouldn't it?
But I just... I love this.
I like the idea of the Bavarian.
In the deserts.
Just coming over the hill.
Oh, God.
I'm astounded.
You want good time, yes? Stop.
Oh, dear. So, he has an interesting relationship in the desert.
With a Bavarian. I'm assuming why this is why he's in Norway. A misplacement in the notes there, I think. But then he does strike up a relationship with an 18-year-old.
I read that somewhere and I can't find...
Well, this is kind of a break in... This is the first time, I think, that he really experiences rejection.
Oh.
Because they get dumped.
Yeah, well, they have a relationship which, for this young guy, I think, is just a good bumming every now and again. And he doesn't really want it to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, on the other hand, it seems throughout this story, he's just looking for companionship.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that somebody just, you know, turns him down, really.
Okay.
He's just there for the sex. And I think... Earlier on, I don't think we've mentioned that by this point, Dennis is really into his photography. And he's got really into photography and videography as well.
Is that a real word?
Yeah.
Videography?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard that before. You've educated me. First time
for everything. But he, some of his colleagues have said that he used to get them to play dead.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd take photographs of them. But he'd even make them up. He put like...
Why would you agree to that?
Because in the army, it's boring a lot of the time.
The first few times might have been just a bit of a laugh. Like, apparently he used to put, like, he made the lips purple.
Blew out the lips.
Yeah, and then put, like, talc on the faces so they look pale. And... You'd take photographs of him.
I'd say no.
But
no,
this...
well, you're in the army, you're bored, aren't you?
But this young lad, he'd done lots of videoing with him, and when he apparently had a bit of a breakdown when this lad dumped him.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
He burned all the videotapes.
Dennis.
And this is just before, and then more or less straight away decided to leave the army.
He's gone back, he goes
to the Shetland Islands,
later on. Well, yeah, so after being in Aden, he goes, where does he go? He goes on a bit of a tour, he's in Plymouth, then he goes to Cyprus, then he goes to Berlin.
Sun in it. That's where Berlin, that would have been where the...
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense, doesn't it, rather than the desert?
Well, when he's in Berlin, he has... shag with a female prostitute.
Really?
Yeah. Whoa. And I think it was because he was sort of forced into a corner. Right,
the pussy.
Oh, like, go on, Dennis.
Go on, Dennis, lad. Go on, get it up.
So he's like out with all the army boys. And he sort of finds himself in a situation he can't really control. And so...
Dapper laughs, egging him on.
He does the deed, and then he's like to lads, oh yeah, I fucked her and all that, but
he didn't.
He's later in
life. He had his eyes shut and he were picturing.
Well, yeah,
picturing someone
later on
in
life, he says that he found the intercourse has been depressing and greatly overrated.
It wasn't tight enough for him.
No. It wasn't like a nice tight asshole. Although he maybe should have tried sticking up a bum. Although if she's a professional lady, it's probably that, quite loose.
Probably, yeah, whistling in
I
the
imagine
wind.
She has terms.
Yeah.
Terms and conditions. Mm. Sign here.
Oh, it's an extra 50 franc, not francs, Deutschmarks.
Deutschmarks.
It's an extra 50 Deutschmarks for a bum.
For number two.
he travels about and then he ends up after, I think it's 11 years. In the army, decides.
So he has commitment.
Oh, yeah, he's done a good stretch.
So now we get to Chris's point and he quits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he spends some time.
He says that part of the reason that he quit as well was that he was unhappy with the British involvement in Northern Ireland and his political issues.
He's quite informed, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
That's his broadsheets, isn't he?
Well, yeah, his broadsheets.
Maybe he just got them as toilet paper.
to wipe up all the wank.
Yeah, he...
But he was in the army for 3 years and... Oh, sorry, 11 years and 3 months.
Nice fact.
All.
Nice fact, Chris. It's 1972 at this point. He spends a bit of time back in Scotland with his family.
Yeah, he goes 5 weeks back in his hometown. But I think back in the small town...
Yeah.
The small village life. And he has... This is another breaking point in... Probably for Dennis in general again, is that he has a massive argument with his brother.
Yeah.
And from that point, they never spoke again. And it was all about homosexuality.
Yeah, about gay rights and stuff. And I think he's a bit fed up of being at home because his mum's giving
being
him...
the only gay in the village! He's no Bravarian prostitutes knocking around in Aberdeen.
Are you sure? If they're in the fucking desert, I'm sure they'd feel more at home in Scotland. Yeah, his mum's giving him shit about getting a wife. Which isn't going to happen. He has a big argument and he defends gay rights. And
Go on, Dennis. Good on you.
And Olav Jr. says, look, mum, Dennis is a fucking gay.
Yeah.
So
what?
Dennis doesn't
no
like it.
Son of mine will be a poof.
And this is the best
a fruit picker in the family.
Dennis. He goes to the only place...
I'm a gear. You can suck on my haggis.
Stop it with your Welsh.
I'm going to pump my gravy into Aunt Bessie's pudding.
He goes to the only place in the world where the streets are paved with gold.
He's heading for the big smoke.
He does a Dick Whittington and off to London he goes.
Peaches and pears.
He's got his knotted handkerchief over his stick on his shoulder.
What do they call them? Bindles. Is bindle
a
word?
A bindle.
Walking down like the start of...
A bimble.
Of The Incredible Hulk. Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Winding down the winding
road. But a bit
road.
Happier because it's his new chance.
And plus he'd have a little camp slot, I imagine. Yeah.
Well, again, it shows he's not afraid, is he? Off to London he goes on his own to start a new life and to find some love, bum love. Because, it's the early 70s. There's free love.
We're finding love. We're finding bum love.
There's lots of drugs and hippies knocking about.
Yeah.
Not that Dennis is into drugs, but I'm sure he would be into free love.
But he's still loving the booze. Massive alcohol.
Oh, yeah, he loves the booze. Well, I mean, that's in the Scottish genes, isn't it? Get the booze in.
In the Wranglers.
So off to London, and he arrives in London, and he
straight onto the gear scene, like
he hits that scene.
Hits
hard.
That scene. Working 9 to 5.
Well, I was going to say that he joins the police force.
Which he does that as well.
But you're
no, yeah, he arrives in London, gets himself a little, he gets himself a bed sit to start off.
Yeah, he sets himself up, little house.
And then joins the police force.
He completes the training.
There's a good quote here. I don't think he fight. Yeah, I think he was hoping to fault that the police would be kind of in line with the army.
Yes.
There'd be that regimental
kind of
lifestyle again. But he doesn't scratch
work.
His itch, does it?
It doesn't work. He gets lonely. He starts to drink every night of the week.
Yeah,
though.
Heavy drinking. Really, really getting onto the gear scene. The bars are and so on.
Yeah. He's now having sort of like regular sex, casual sex.
Yeah, regular casual sex. But he's disheartened in the police, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's disheartened in the
sex as well, because...
Yeah, he's after... He wants companionship.
He wants something more, and he
I can imagine when he first got there, and it's like...
Well, it's like a buzz, isn't it? It's like so exciting. It's like when you go out for the first time, isn't it?
Here's Dennis!
Oh, God, I was out on Wednesday night and we were walking down Oxford Street in Manchester and I thought, oh, does that girl have skin-coloured pants on? She's squatting down. No, knickers around her ankles, pissing at the bus stop.
On a Wednesday?
Wednesday? About 11 o'clock.
Good northern girl.
Disgusting.
Don't go that in Soho.
No. So, where are we up to? Yeah, he doesn't like the casual sex. And it's doing his head in a bit.
Yeah, he's taking men back on a regular basis, but that's not what he's looking
it's
for,
not what
is
he's
it?
Looking
he's looking for companionship.
And then in that year, he has a bit of luck because his dad dies in Norway.
Hey!
And he leaves him £1,000.
Oh, bloody hell, don't spend it all at once, Dennis.
Well, I don't know how much £1,000 was in 1973.
Probably about five.
A good wedge.
Maybe. About £5,000.
It's better than now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's enough.
And they're kicking tassels.
It's enough to set himself up with a little house, flat.
Right.
A proper flat in London, which I don't think £1,000 would get you.
But it costs a fortune now.
Anywhere near that. He packs in the police because...
Well, just before he packs in the police, I've a good little story here. One night on patrols, he shone his torch into a parked car and caught a gay couple in the act. But he couldn't bring himself to arrest them, which...
Quite right, too.
Gay men having sex in public. I think the gay rights act came in...
It's probably against the law,
I think,
but it was all in a public
Well,
place.
Yeah, I
gay
think even if you...
Gay.
Yeah, but I think it was a definite... They had to be brought in, but...
He let him go. It's just like when you let someone off for speeding.
That's why I'd be rubbish as a policeman, because I'd be like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't...
Well, unless it's like a real crime.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like everyday... It pisses me off, speeding, shagging in public, you know, things like that shouldn't be penalised. You should be allowed to have a bonk in a parked car.
In reason. I mean, like, not on
it's
a park
not like
at 12
a
o'clock.
Park.
No,
in the middle of afternoon.
Yeah, obviously not stuff
you
like that.
You have to use discretion, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're going to beat up an old lady, go to prison. You're just having a nice time. Just chill out, everyone.
Yeah. Chillax, guys.
See, I'm really liking Dennis at the moment.
He's a good guy.
He's a good in my box.
Well, he's quite left wing, you know.
Yeah.
So after he packs,
this is brilliant when he packs in the police and he decides, sorry, I'm just going to sign on. Because I imagine, will he have a military pension as well, or do you have to become?
I think
you
have
to
get
to a
certain
age
to release it.
But he goes to the job centre to get a job and gets a job there and then.
At the job
centre. In the job centre. They offer him a job.
And I do believe he does fairly well.
Yeah, but apparently he doesn't get on that well with his colleagues. He's quite driven and, like in the army, he's quite argumentative.
He's quite like Pauline from The League of Gentlemen.
Yeah, I imagine he's very
dull scum.
To the point and... Yeah, and he doesn't really get...
He's probably not very good.
I don't imagine him having very good people skills.
That's what I was trying to say.
Unless he's in a bar chatting.
Well, that's different social to being like in a professional work environment.
So,
I think he's quite happy in his job centre work. And like saying, he's very active in the
Cruising the gay bars as well.
Chris is mad for it.
Chris is upset. Every time I try and talk about something professional, he just brings
He's cruising the gay bars.
He was an active trade union member.
That's boring. Nobody wants to hear that he was in the trade union. He rises to the gay bars.
He becomes the executive officer of the union, so he's got very high responsibilities. So you could say that he's very caring towards his fellow man because he's standing up for the liberties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think it's very easy to just say that someone's all bad.
Mm.
And sometimes they're not all bad.
Yeah. He stands for some good things.
Yeah.
But also murdering and stuff. Not so good. And
incest and murder, bad. What I find... Unions, homosexuals, good.
Yeah. What find it, again...
It's 2-2 at the moment. What will the final score be?
In the same way that Fred and Rose did, I think he's associating himself with unfortunates again.
Yes, like definitely.
The drifters and... Well, I imagine, you know, if he's known on the gay scene and stuff, you're going to get the Rent Boys and the... Which are going to be, runaways.
This is so Dharma.
Yeah. This is where it's very Dharma.
Well, just to point to that is later on in the police investigation, when I think he's murdered, 15 people, the police said they would never have tied those 15 murders to one person because they were all unfortunates, drifters, travellers.
Nobody reports them missing.
You know, there's no link.
Any friends that they do have, I think they've just moved on.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, when I was a student, we used to go to...
A gay bar, cruising.
Yeah. We used to go to this gay bar on a Monday, can I name the bar?
Yeah.
Manto on Canal Street.
Monday.
Monday Manto Madness it was called on the thingy. Because it would buy one, get one free on all drinks. But it was a bit of a haunt for Rent Boys. And again, I always remember there was this one guy and he looked like a Baron Greenbank. He was like small and warty, had a massive chin. But he were always surrounded by like these lads that you could see were like younger. And they were all like... You know, they were dishevelled, shitty tracksuits on, and
it's a shame, isn't it?
But you can imagine it's the same kind of sad for everyone involved.
Yeah.
A funny story though, we were there one night, I remember, we were sat there, and this guy come in, and bless him, he were trying his hardest. He were about 6'4", built like a brick shit house, in a mini dress, high heels, wig on, made up at nine.
I love that
and he would try his hardest. He come and sat down and he crossed his legs and he put his little handbag down and he was sat down with his hands on his knees.
Big hairy hands.
Yeah. And he were massive. Hands like shovels.
Yeah.
Right. Man mountain. And I remember I got up and went to the bar and as I got up, he got up as well and he toddled over to the bar. Like I said, it would buy one, get one free. I was getting served and then another barman went to him and he's tried his hardest to be as feminine as possible and then he went, 2 pints of bodies, please. I mean, get a baby sham.
Yeah, get a snowball.
You put the effort in that far. 2 pints of bodies. Come on, lad.
Yeah, he should have been having a pina colada at that point.
That's not a pina colada.
I've lost. Where are we up to? Oh, he's a job centre man.
He's working as a civil servant now. He's got a job in the job centre.
What I want to know is, when does he pick up his friend?
Well, right, we're in 1975 now, and I don't think I mentioned, but with £1,000, he sets himself up in Melrose Avenue.
Yeah.
195.
Well, is this after he's met his friend David?
No, this is just before. This is before, and then
I thought they looked for a place together.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He meets a young man, David...
Gallahan. I think.
It's spelt Gala Chan, but I think we'll go with Gallahan, shall we?
Who he nicknames Twinkle. Oh. Which is
that's
nice.
That's cute. Did he meet him in that pub?
No, but again, Dennis, being the gentleman that he is, he meets David. Well, David's outside a pub and he's being threatened by two men. And Dennis intervenes in the altercation.
What a hero.
I need a hero. Can you imagine him coming through the mist?
Yeah.
I need a man. Running over. With his glasses.
Get off my poof.
Taking his glasses off as he runs, putting them in the case.
Yeah. Neatly.
Yeah.
He strikes me as a neat fellow.
Oh, definitely.
You get back! You get back!
Well, he's got his army training and his police training.
Yeah, and he's cooking.
Yeah.
He's got a spatula with him. Right on the side of the face.
I'll label you to death.
So he meets David.
Yeah.
Who is...
And he saves
him. How old's David?
David's 20.
Right, and so 75, how old's Dennis now?
He's
going to be in his 30s.
30, bang on.
Bang on 30.
29, 30.
29, 30, so he meets Dennis.
Depending on when his birthday
falls. 10 years
his
junior.
You're right, Dennis is still in his room at Teignmouth Road in Cricklewood. And he takes David back and they spend the evening together and... They have
they're
a chat.
It on.
And
that's one
they're
thing
having a drink.
Said, that's one thing that Dennis said that he, whilst he was cruising the bars, and I'll keep going on about him cruising these bars, but he always says he was after conversation more than he was sex, which that's like a Dharma quote, I'm sure, as well, that he wanted conversation and companionship. So he's... Well, he's looking for companionship, and it comes along in the shape of little David, 20-year-old.
Unexpected forms, doesn't it? So they have a lovely evening, they talk, they drink, they find out about each other, so...
Is David a runaway?
Well, he's travelled to London from Weston-super-Mare, but he's unemployed... He's gay and he has to live in a hostel.
No, I bet the doubters and the haters listening to this podcast are thinking, so Dennis is going to do something bad to this boy.
No.
But no.
No, he's lovely Dennis at this point.
Yeah. Don't jump to conclusions about Dennis.
So they have a lovely evening together and the following morning they agree to move in together.
That's fast.
Oh, that's really fast. And this, Dennis loves this because it's everything that he's been searching for.
Yeah.
He's just been looking for that companionship, somebody to live with, somebody to hold, someone to caress, and someone to bum every night, silly.
So, what do they do? Let's go property hunting.
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah, so off they go, and they spend a few days together viewing different flats.
Yeah, they don't have Zoopla at this point.
No, there's no right move.
No, Custy, what's her name? Allsop.
No, they couldn't do that.
Or the man
and also,
one.
We've still not got a cider sponsor. So.
Yes.
Just thought I'd mention that.
No, I agree.
It is in the sun.
Chris, you're fucking ruining it with your gay wine.
I know, that should be a bloody bottle of Thatcher's.
Here we are in London looking for a property for two friends here, Dennis and David. They're after a spacious room.
Yeah.
Uncarpeted, easy access to the floorboards. And a spacious garden.
Soundproofing. so they go flat hunting and after a few days they find... A ground floor flat at 195 Melrose Avenue, which is just down the road from the London studios.
Not
actually.
To be confused with Melrose Place.
Yeah,
is that that
but
shit
it, with it
TV
being
show?
A with it being a ground floor flat, he's got access to a nice big garden.
Yeah, did he not stipulate that he would have sole access to the garden with the landlord as well?
Right. Oh, I don't know about that one.
I'm pretty sure that was a clause in the contract.
Because he did like his gardening. And
They negotiate.
He's digging petunias. And burying. Yeah.
He negotiates with the landlord that he and David would have exclusive use of the garden.
Snotty bastard.
So they move in and over the following months they... We decorate the flat, they furnish the whole flat.
I'm imagining a happy montage.
Yeah. And an addition to the family as well.
Yo, they get a puppy, don't they?
Little dog. Little dog.
What's
Bleep.
It called?
Bleep. She's a weird name. But
I like it though.
Have you seen a bit of a weird name?
No, what name?
Bleep.
Bleep.
B-L-E-E-P.
Yeah, like.
Beep.
Beep. No, not like. No, more like you beep.
Yeah.
Because if you was going to. Sound like then your dog would be called
But there's quite
have you
a few,
heard that bell?
Have you seen any of the videos of him with his dog?
Bleak? No.
He's like proper doggy man, you know.
Stalking it.
Come on. Are these on YouTube?
Oh, bleepy. Yeah.
There's quite a lot of videos listening on YouTube.
Well, like I said, he's really into his...
Yeah.
Does he rub his...
When he... Oh, I imagine...
Tummy, yes.
Soft underbelly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Little bleepy.
So, yeah, they move in. But it's... I don't know. I think this is... Once they move in together, like any relationship, it's only when you live with someone you really get to know them.
Yeah, especially after a week.
And the the stress and the tiny cracks start to appear.
I think Nielsen's personality as well of him being so argumentative. He's a bit of a... he's a bit of an egomaniac, I think.
Yeah.
In ways, he thinks he's above people.
Yeah.
And he's always right. And very
argumentative. I don't get that impression with Dharma. I think Dharma's quite low self-esteemy.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get. Whereas he's a bit more of an arse. Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He's got a bit of strength of character. Mm.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Scottish grit.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So they move in, and it comes. Well, it comes clear that...
Kind of fizzles out.
Dennis is the breadwinner, and David is the stay-at-home lazy bastard.
Yeah, and the relationship starts to fizzle out.
So the cracks are appearing, the sex is getting less.
Well, at this point then, they start bringing other men on.
Yeah, the arguments happen, then, they move into separate beds, and they bring on different other men, sexual partners.
And Dennis, one night, brings a woman on.
Oh,
what is he doing messing with the ladies?
Is he still trying to cure himself?
Flip back to the other side.
Be yourself, Dennis.
Dennis, you should have gone to America, because there's loads of them pastors in America who can cure gayness. Take this tablet and...
Yeah, they'll cure you.
And they can cure you.
I saw one the other day, cured a blind woman.
Yeah, I've seen gays cured.
That woman came to me. She came to me and she hadn't seen for 30 years. And I touched her with the Lord's hand. And she saw every colour of the rainbow.
I bet he touched her fanny before he cured her blindness. That's what I'd have done. Just suck on this, love. It'll cure you. So, yeah, it's all falling apart. Although they never have any violence in the relationship, it's verbal, you know, lots of arguing.
And at this point, David and Dennis go the separate ways.
Yeah, it's
a sad tale, really, isn't it?
It's about a couple of years, you know, more or less.
Yeah, 2-year relationship.
But it falls apart.
I think it could have ended up a lot worse for
he can count his lucky stars.
Yeah.
He didn't end up with his head in a bucket.
Well, I think young David should have realised when he was onto a good thing. I mean, Dennis, hard-working... Out working every now and
then. Yeah, Rose didn't... Oh, actually, she did start bringing other men in. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That was earning money for the DIY.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
You know, it's a bit sad.
After the relationship does break down, David moves out, and Dennis finds himself all alone again. I think the depression sets back in.
Yeah, he has a few...
The drinking starts again. Yeah. I imagine he's got a few.
He has a few on-off relationships, but nothing's lasting. You know, there's no companionship, and he finds himself very lonely.
Yeah, and apparently at this point, his fixation with death starts to resurface again. You know, his fixation with dead bodies. And at this point, they find a lot of photographs again when they searched his flat and stuff around this time of when he's taking pictures of himself as a dead body. So it seems when he's slumping into that depressive mode again, these kind of thoughts and processes are coming back to him.
Yeah. But he's, he tries to make the best of it. He throws himself into his work, keeps himself busy during the day. And in the evening, he listens to music and gets completely fucking shit-faced.
Yeah. And he's frequenting the bars again.
I bet he must have fucking stunk a booze every day at work. I bet he was a sort of... You know, there's always them blokes who go into work and you can see they've been on it every single night. They come in and every day they come into work and it just looked like shit.
But who drank more, Dharma or Nielsen?
Nielsen's a gritty Scot. He could drink him on a table. Yeah.
Americans.
He'd be on Bud Light. He'd be on Coors Light.
Damn light beers.
He'd be on rum and coke was his favourite drink. Dark rum and coke. No.
Nielsen.
Loved his dark rum and coke.
I mean, although, to be fair, Geoffrey was a good drinker. He started hammering it while he was at school, didn't he?
And don't get me wrong, I'm still a Dharma fan.
But
Nielsen just pips into the post.
So I think...
At this point, I think we've taken Dennis on quite a journey, haven't we?
I think we've established his early life.
Yeah.
Set up in London.
We're at breaking point.
Do you know what? Yeah. We're ready for a fucking murder.
Yeah.
Yes!
So next time...
We're going to be like the X Factor and all them kind of... where they leave you on an edge and then...
Leave you hanging.
Next episode, we're straight into murder number one. Straight to number two. 15 murders we've got to cover.
16
murders.
Well, it's all very foggy. Some
number between 12 and 16 murders.
Exactly. Well put.
And we're going to get right into it with all the nasty details.
And I like nasty details.
So... Well, that's Dennis.
Episode one of Dennis.
Yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it. Jade, say the thing.
Oh, search us on Facebook, Penny Morthouse, thepennymorthouse@gmail.com. Get in touch, tell us what you think. Any episode suggestions or stories, that's very welcome. Twitter, we're @PennyMorthouse. Hello, all new fans.
We've got a load of stickers in. If anybody wants any, we do special personalised lucky bags that we're sending out. We'll put a few little treats in for you. And just drop us your address and we'll send you some out.
If you send us a little wink on the email, we'll seal the envelopes with jizz.
That's nothing to do with me.
No, because you'll seal them with quam.
No. But do follow us on Facebook, because how else are we supposed to get the news to you?
Yeah.
I'm making Paul stop in posting Daily Mail links.
Listen.
Zeke Kyle!
They're fucking interesting stories. There was a story the other day about a man who was making pies out of people and feeding them to his neighbours.
Ridiculous clickbait. Right, we've been the Penny Morthouse.
Got her.
And on that note...
Thank you very much, listeners.
We have been the Penny Mortos. It's been great. We've got up close and personal with Dennis.
I know, I'm loving this. I'm loving
you
Dennis.
You know what's coming next.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
It was nice. And I slept with him. Ladies and gentlemen.